and real tech and all those connections in between. And this is
Andres. Real talk, simple as that. Keep it simple, straight to the heart. Let's do it.
Andres is a bit sleepy today. You want to tell everybody why you're so sleepy today?
Sleepy? Well, I'm not sleepy, just a little bit tired. Nor do I have a hangover because I don't drink as much. But just from the concert last night, I got to go see Alpha. For those of you listening, Alpha is a dembow reggaeton artist. He was in the Nashville area, so I got to go see him, spend some quality time with the wife, friends, and had some fun. It's been a minute. Great energy, great vibe. So it was good. It just finished late. By the time I got home, it was 4:30 in the morning. So in a two-hour drive from Nashville, hour 45. So it wasn't bad at all. The drive is not bad. It's just it was late. But here we are.
Here we are. That's what we were talking about right before we went live is him coming home at 4 o'clock. And I'm like, oh my God, I would be like still in bed. I would have called you and been like, Andres, you're on your own today. Fly solo and do the show. I got to sleep. So I give you props for being here because I know that that's hard to drag yourself out of bed when you're tired like that. At least for me, it is.
Well, now we're still going to make it happen. Still got to get the kids to school. We still got things to do in the morning. So we got to approach the day as usual. Whether we got our sleep or not, we still have things to that need to happen throughout the day. So.
Right. The world still moves on. And speaking of moving on, we are streaming today. We're streaming live on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. Don't forget to go like, subscribe, follow, and share so you guys never miss an episode. And something you were talking about right now, Andres, is actually leading into what we were going to talk about today. You were talking about getting to spend quality time with your wife, your family, and going to that concert and just being able to relax and get back in touch with, you know, your family and spending that time with them. When you're a real estate agent or any type of business, especially if you're an entrepreneur, if you're running your own business, your small business that you're managing, it is very difficult a lot of times to separate work and family life because they intermesh so much. And especially if you're doing everything yourself, you're like a one-man shop. How do you do that? How do you separate work and family life?
Well, one thing, and I got this a couple of years ago from the Vault conference, and give all the credit to Patrick Bitt Davis, is you need to get family involved in your business so that they can see, you know, the activities that you do, what is required, get their perspective, and run the business as a family so that you guys are all on the same page. And that will... and Nessa has helped me facilitate, you know, the time commitment for work. She knows if something comes up, if I have a showing, if I have a buyer or seller I need to attend, that she understands that perspective. And I'm actually trying to get her license as a real estate agent as well. Wow, she also works normally 12-hour shift, 12 to, you know, 7 to 7. Or help out in the evenings as a nurse. So we have a mutual balance agreement. Some weekends she wants to do a few things, some weekends I can't because I've worked. So she gets involved with me and help me discuss activity. So it's creating that balance. We know what to do the work, when to do the work, but also when to get away from it. At a certain time throughout the day, it's family time, you know? And I think you need to have that boundaries with your clients as well, where if they call you, because you're always going to have some clients that want to text you at 10 o'clock at night or 5 o'clock in the morning, right? I think it's important to set up those boundaries, like, hey, I'm here for you 100% all the time. But at a certain time, this is family time. You know, I need you to respect that. And they're okay with that, you know, because at the end of the day, they're also might be doing the same thing. You know, they have family time as well. So I think it's one, getting them involved in the things that you're doing as a real estate agent, show them what it takes, what it's all about. being flexible and really being sticking to your time frames, boundaries with your clients and with family as well, right? In order to stay productive in this business, you got to allocate your time for prospecting, for generating more business. You have to let them know that, hey, this time around, I'm focused on doing this. You know, if it's something that we didn't schedule ahead of time, they also have to respect those boundaries, both families and clients.
True, very true. Although I think about with especially real estate, there are some times where there are things that have to be done and they have to be done immediately, unfortunately. Like, you know, say your client goes to see a house, whether you show them or you use a showing assistant or however you do it, and they want to put an offer in on that house, you know, waiting a day to submit an offer could be the difference between going under contract on that house and losing that opportunity to another buyer. So sometimes there are things that have to immediately be done. And sometimes that's hard for a family to understand. To give you like a real world example, let's say you spent all day Saturday showing houses, right? And then you come home and your kids are like, oh, mom, our dad's home, you know, and we can finally like, you know, watch movies and do whatever. And you're like, yes, but I have to write two offers first. I have to write, you know, three offers first. And a lot of times, you know, your family, they get kind of upset and they're like, you were gone all day and we just want, you know, you to spend time with us. And it's like, well, do you like living in this house? Do you like going to soccer practice? Do you like those new Jordans you just got on your feet? Well, then I got to do these things. So it is hard sometimes.
It is, but you also have to be, you have to set up the stage, right? You have to let them know, hey, if this activity happens, in my phone, if this particular phone rings, like with Cloud, we save the money line, right?
Yep.
If this particular phone number rings, if you see that incoming call, I need to step out just for 5-10 minutes. Let me pick it up because this is more business, right? This is a client. This is an offer that we have to submit. You have to be, you know, let them know so that they are aware that if those activities come up front, you have to handle those as they come across because it's just the nature of the business. And they're not surprised or upset, you know, when those activities happen. And I think you see a lot of times that communication is not there. And people just go off. And like you said, you know, you work all day, you come home and actually, you know, oh shit, I got to submit an offer. And they start getting upset, and those boundaries are not emotion, and the lack of communication is not there. So it's very important to have those boundaries in place and communicate to them exactly what those things are that need to be taken care of in a timely manner. Because at the end of the day, it is business, and you know, and the family is part of that. Whether we sometimes don't want to admit it or not, they are more involved than they realize because of the flexibility that they allow us to do our job. I think that plays a huge role. Trust me, if my kid would be like, hey, I gotta do this, I gotta do that, I gotta do that. It's hard to do both, right? So you need to have this clear guidance and communicate at all times what's happening.
So it's about setting that expectation of this is what, you know, is most likely gonna be the outcome of today. This is what's gonna happen today. I've always said that because I've seen real life examples of real estate agents who have non-real estate agent industry partners. So like most of the time when I see a successful relationship with a real estate agent, it's with somebody who is either also a real estate agent or in that type of field. Like they're a lender, they work for title, they work for a closing attorney. They're some type of, they understand that world. I've seen many times where you'll have a real estate agent, man or woman, and their partner is not in the industry at all. And they do not understand and cannot grasp the fact that you're always going to be getting calls from people you don't know. You're going to get DMs on social media. You're going to have, you know, men or women from the opposite sex calling you and wanting to meet with you so that you can go do things. Not only that, if you're a woman or you're a man, as an agent, you have lenders all the time who want to meet with you for coffee, who want to meet with you for this business meetings. And trust in a relationship is something that is very hard to find, especially with people not in the industry.
Yeah, definitely. I've seen it happen firsthand, and it's hard, you know. It's hard because that's as an agent, you said. I'm thinking it's extra things that you have to worry about. You know, rather than having a support, it's extra thing that you have to walk around and navigate to, and to make sure that you, in their eyes, you're not trespassing certain boundaries, when in reality you're just trying to do your job.
Yeah.
But the other person's perspective, you're crossing the line, you know, and it sucks. It sucks, you know, because you don't need that, but that's the reality of things. Things are going to happen like that in some situations. So. But no, yesterday, actually, I interviewed an Clarity agent, so Josh, and I asked him that, exactly that, you know. How do you balance to have a certain level of productivity and consistency in your job? How do you balance life, family, work? And both him and his wife are real estate agents. And one of the things they mentioned is you kind of, the kids know the habits, the kid knows, the family knows already what are the tendency of need to push to generate more business, to do certain activities for work, and when we're doing more family time and lay off for more. So you start creating a balance, you start creating a routine of what's working for everybody, so everyone is on the same page. It doesn't happen overnight, but it takes all of them to be able to navigate that and be able to have the consistency you desire of work without affecting the family time balance. You know, you can't expect to have that certain level of productivity and expect certain quality of time or certain amount of time with. You have to give up one or the other at all time. And it's just coming into an agreement when that is happening throughout the year.
Yeah. And you have to decide what level you're at with your business where you're okay with letting a certain amount of business go. Like if you're to the point in your business where you don't need every single deal that comes your way, and you know that you can miss a few opportunities to spend time with your family because you've worked up and you've reached that, then great. But if you're at the point where you're still building your business and you still need every single sale, and let's be honest, this past year has been hard for agents. It's been a rough year. So I think agents this year are taking deals where they can get them. So if the money phone rings, we're answering that money phone at this point, because it's been a tough year for a lot of agents.
Yes. But I think the balance is not just for real estate agents. I forgot exactly where I heard it from. It's every time you commit to something, you're giving something else. You know, whether you are a real estate agent or in any job industry, if you're a nurse, doctor, you are working 7, 8, 10, 12-hour days, right? You are consistently doing that, and in return, you're giving away certain amount of time with your family. So no matter what job it is, you are giving something up in order to gain something else. No matter what decision you make or what you're trying to achieve, in every decision, you are giving something else. It's just determining the value of what that is, you know, and it's a worth take, you know, for a real estate agent that's beginning. You have to put your time in to generate more business, to make some phone calls, to build that consistency that you want in your business. You're going to give up some times away from friends, from family, from enjoying yourself and doing a few things. It may, of course, may happen, you know, but it's what you're giving up in order to get the level of success that you want in your business. On the other hand, if you are looking to spend more time with your family, more time in enjoying yourself, you're giving up opportunities. And like we always say, it's not such a thing as a missed opportunity. It just went to somebody else. And that's exactly what's happened.
Yeah, and to your point, when you were talking about if you work outside the home, so you work somewhere, you go, you trade hours for dollars. How many times, think about when you did have like a 9-to-5 or, you know, a 3-to-10 or whatever shift you worked outside the home. how many times, even if it was when you were younger, did somebody invite you to go somewhere, or was your family going to do something and you had to say, oh, I'm working. I can't. Let me see if I can get off. Let me see if I can get somebody to cover my shift. You know, it's the same thing. It's just a little bit different in the aspect of you're not at home saying, let me type out this contract. Let me take this phone call. You're just gone completely.
Oh yeah. During the pandemic, I work in the medical, in the supply industry for a medical company back in San Diego. And I had two jobs. There was a period of time for a month and a half. I had another job where my standard job went from 7 in the morning to 4 p.m. And my other job was from 7 p.m. to from 6 p.m. to 6 in the morning. So I would leave one job, and I was doing the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the evening job, 6 p.m. to 6 in the morning. And then Monday to Friday, I was doing the 7 to 4. So Thursday, I was leaving at 4, go home, change, dress in 3E, and go to my other job into 7 in the morning. And in my lunch break, I took a nap. And then again, Friday. So for 2 days, I had maybe 4 hours of sleep. And I was working, you can imagine, about 40 hours out of 48 hours. I was on the clock working. And that happened for a month and a half. You know, and then I left that job in the evening. I started another job where it was from 5 to 10. In the evening, working for the university. So again, I was from 4 in the morning until 10 p.m. Monday to Friday. And it was just, and that was right before I moved to San Diego, and I did that for about 5-6 months. And yeah, what did I give up? I gave up time with my kids, you know, time with friends on the weekend, activities. You know, it sucks, but it's the sacrifice that what I was giving up in the time in order to compensate for a few things that I needed during the time frame.
Yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't easy. And then, you know, my wife wasn't the same, where she was doing both jobs with me, you know, 8 hours in one, 12 hours in the other. But that's just our commitment to, in order to achieve a certain couple of things that we wanted to achieve. And it happens. Like you said, it's no matter which job are you doing, you are giving something up in order to be there or generate certain income for a specific time. You're always giving something up.
I think the pandemic kind of spoiled people too, as far as it really showed us that a lot of these jobs could be done at home. They could be done remote. You didn't necessarily need to leave your house to go do whatever it was you were doing for your employer. So people got very used to being at home, not leaving, being around family all the time. And then when, you know, the shelter at home, stay at home was lifted and everybody was allowed to venture back out into the world, people were like, I don't want to go back to work. I want to stay home. They were used to that closeness. That or the divorce rate ran up after the pandemic too. So everybody either split or decided they wanted to stay home and not leave anymore.
That, I mean, I can't say, man, I've been spending too much time with you. It's not working. That's interesting, huh? It forces you to spend time with people and you realize, like, okay, that didn't work out.
True, because a lot of people, and it's totally side note, not where I thought we were going to go today, but I unfortunately know a lot of friends who do not enjoy spending time with their partner or their spouse, which to me is super sad. And I've literally heard them say things like, I can't wait to go to work. I can't wait for them to go to work so I can have peace and quiet, or so I can have some alone time. And I mean, I get every now and then somebody wants alone time. But to me, if you're like every day looking forward to the person that you're supposed to be doing life with to leave the house, that's sad. I think that's sad.
Yeah, that's why be there at all. Right, I think that's sometimes we, I'm not a therapist. I'm in no way, you know, a specialist in any of these areas, but I think sometimes we feel like we have to give up on our own dreams, give up on our own goals in order to create or have certain balance. And like I said earlier, we're giving up the chase of our dreams, the chase of our goal, whether it's we want to keep the family together, whatever the case may be, right? But sometimes you really got to ask the hard questions and wonder if that is healthy for you as an individual. If you are bringing out the best in yourself and in your kids in that capacity, because like I said, if you're in a situation where you're looking forward to somebody else to leave in order to really have some quality time, then I don't feel like there's quality time at all.
No.
I personally don't feel like there's quality time at all. You know, quality time, I think it's, and so each person has their own definition of what that quality time looks like, right? But should be able to look at each other and say, man, this happened today. This and that. But what do you think? You know, and have a conversation where you're helping each other out and supporting each other, not running away from one another.
And just genuinely wanting to be around each other, wanting to spend time together, wanting to do things together. But unfortunately, I do know that there's a lot of people that's not their everyday reality, and that is unfortunate. But back to what we were talking about, finding that balance and making sure that you're doing what you have to do on the work front, making sure what you're doing, what you got to do on the home front, going into the holiday season, whatever holidays that you're celebrating with your family, it is important to try to find that happy medium, or at least set the stage and let everybody know the expectations of what will happen. That way there's no hurt feelings. Nobody feels let down. Nobody feels like you missed out on things. Just go into it with everybody having their eyes open and all on the same page.
Absolutely. You have to. Along with that, have you had any activities on your real estate side business that you do for your current past clients or as a family? Any traditional events coming up during the Thanksgiving? Let's throw a Christmas too. We may revisit the Christmas one, but since we're on the topic of the holidays.
So I'll tell you a funny story about with my clients, and then I'll tell you what my kids and I need to do this year, what they've been asking to do, and I've just been lazy and haven't done it. So a couple of years ago, we decided to make Christmas cookies for the past clients that had closed on homes that year. And it was like this great idea. My kids were all like excited to do it. Here's the thing though, I have celiac disease. I can't have gluten. And I learned a couple of years before that the hard way, I can't even make cookies, because I thought I could like make cookies, but being around the flour, even though I didn't eat it, still got in my system and still made me really sick. So this year, when we were making these cookies for my clients, we made gluten-free cookies naturally, because that's what I could make. So we made gluten-free cookies from scratch, all different kinds, put them in these cute little tins, and then my kids and I went to deliver them. I didn't think to tell the people that they were gluten-free. I just made them cookies and gave them a little cookie basket. And then it occurred to me later, when my kids wouldn't eat the cookies because they said they didn't like the way they tasted, that my clients probably just think I gave them shitty ass cookies. And they're like, yeah, we're never using Heather again because she gave us shitty ass Christmas cookies that tasted terrible. And I made those cookies with love, damn it. They were hard to make and expensive too, because gluten-free flour is expensive.
So. They were like, Heather, stick to real estate. Don't go into the baking business, please. This is...
Seriously, they really were like, yeah. I mean, everybody was kind. I didn't get any like mean comments or anything like that, but I'm pretty sure that's what they were thinking. They were thinking like store-bought cookies next time, Heather, store-bought cookies.
Yeah, like Deborah, like, yeah, I hope she buys them this time around.
For real. So what,
go to Costco, repackage them, make something up. But don't bring us the same cookies, please.
Yes, lesson learned. I will not make gluten-free cookies for my clients anymore. And then the other part of your question, so a tradition that we have not done in a while, so I don't even know if it constitutes as a tradition anymore, but Beatrice, my middle daughter especially, really has been asking to make tamales every year. And we used to do it. My Nana had us do it, but it is so much work to make tamales, honestly. And that's why, like, I didn't do it the last couple of years, because it's a lot of work. And I need to just do it this year, because they've been asking. So this year we're going to make tamales.
Nice. Hey, Ellie can offer you some points into making tamales. She's part of her tradition as well, doing it for the Christmas season. So we did it last year, and might be doing it again. Might do it this year because we have family visiting. So.
Yep, but I'm definitely going to be hitting her up and be like, give me some tamale making tips and advice. I just remember making them with my Nana, and she was very strict about the olives, one olive per tamale. And I love olives, so I was not understanding this rationing the olives thing when I was a kid. But now that I'm an adult and I know how much olives cost, I understand 100% why she was like, one olive per tamale. So,
well, you'd be surprised. I'm glad you said one olive, because I've tried some, and we have a tradition as pasteles in Oaxaca. It's very similar with tamales, similar process. It just, the mass changes a little bit. We use plantains and other vegetables to make the mass rather than the corn.
Mm-hmm.
But some people put a lot of olives in it. So you're biting through it, and all you can taste is the olive. I'm not an olive fan, so I hated them.
Those were the best ones for me. I loved them.
Same thing with Ellie. She's like, man, I love the olives. She's stacking them up. I'm like, please, don't stack them up for me. So yeah, it's a good ratio, good balance, because it could damage the experience for some people like me.
Yep. And same question for you. Do you have any traditions, real estate side and family side?
For real estate, not yet, but something I will be implementing is we have this traditional drink that's made in Puerto Rico, coquito.
Mm-hmm.
It is an alcoholic, kind of like an eggnog punch, homemade, and it's delicious, right? It's good. I started making that in San Diego, and one Christmas we did about 100 bottles. Just helping friends and family, you know. So that's something that I wanted to do for the holiday season. Passed out a bottle to clients as well, because it's a very holiday, sweet, savory, delicious. It's just an incredible drink. I think everyone should try it at some point. So. But yeah, and for the family, we normally do that. We normally just here's the thing. I've been in San Diego in the U.S. for 20-something years. I haven't spent a Christmas in the Dominican Republic in over 24 years. Next year, my goal is to spend it. My mom is over there this year. She usually spends it there. I want to spend it there next year. So that's my goal for next Christmas, because back home, we're all about music. We get together, very lively food, just listen to music and dance. I can dance with my mom and my sisters all day. So that's very custom for us. Out here, the culture, not so much in the music, but more so on just sitting down, having a conversation, watching a movie, and playing some games. So we look forward to doing that again this year, especially having, you know, more family visiting this time around for Christmas here in Alabama. So excited for that.
No, that sounds awesome. We need to make sure that you get to go over and spend it with your mom and sisters, and then you send us videos of you guys dancing.
Oh, definitely. That's a must. I cannot be around that woman and not start dancing. It's like, I'm her clone. It just happens automatically. Last time we were there, we were at the beach. We just came out of the water, and we We listened, there had a song playing in the background. We just started dancing right there. Like, we're the only one at the beach. People are just looking at us like, what the heck is going on? I'll send you the video. Ellie recorded us. She's like, you guys really just dance anywhere. You guys walk into a grocery store and you just start dancing. Like, it was just line up for you guys. I'm like, hell yeah, that's the way it is.
No, that's awesome. That's
it's my mom.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's anywhere we go. If we hear music, man, boom, we're rocking, we're dancing.
Yeah, I would say in American culture, we probably look at people like they were crazy. If they just started dancing in the grocery store, we would be like,
I don't know if you saw my story I posted on Instagram the other day. I'm just driving around with some music, and I said, hey, I'm going to start posting more of this. And just to, you know, disclosure, if you see me dancing on the street, at the grocery store, don't be surprised. This is me in my natural habitat. Even though you don't hear the music, sometimes I have it inside of me, you know, because that's just normal for me. I'm always listening to music. I'm always dancing. I'm always just having a great day, you know. There's nothing out there that can mess it up. So why allow all the things out of your control to mess up your day? So just have some music, get going, and rhythm.
That makes me think of my kids when they were younger, and we would go to the grocery store or whatever, and they would just bust out randomly into a song, and they would just be singing in the grocery store. And then at some point, they stopped doing that. And it was not because I was like, hey, stop singing. I think they just got older, and they just like felt, I guess, maybe embarrassed or realized they were singing out loud. And that always made me sad, because like I never realized the last time they sung like that in public was going to be the last time that they did it. And then all of them have like aged out of doing that. So that makes me sad when I think that they don't do that anymore.
Watch them do it as an adult later on and be like, why did I stop doing that? It's just at some point you realize like, all these people don't care. You know, I don't care what they think. And that's really what it is.
My Nana told me something one time. And she said, because I was having a bad day. I didn't like the way my makeup looked. And I felt fat. And my hair was crazy. And I was just like really upset. Didn't want to go get out of the car. And my Nana, I think, was trying to make me feel better. And she goes, Heather, you realize people don't think about you as much as you think they think about you, right? And I was like, okay, that's kind of mean and devastating in the moment. But now looking back, that actually was really good advice, because it's true. People don't think about you specifically as much as you think they do. And that is true. And a lot of people let what others think about them hold them back from doing what they want to do because they don't want to be embarrassed or they don't want other people to know. But nobody really gives a shit at the end of the day. So you should just do what you want to do and be happy.
It's interesting, right? Because And I'm going to bring that back into real estate, because like you said, nobody thinks about you as much as you think they are thinking about you, right? But as real estate, if we're looking at making phone calls, we're already thinking that they already have a certain conversation with another agent, and they're going to have certain objections. We are already assuming their reactions and their objections based on our own experiences, and we don't make those phone calls. So, when reality is, they're not even thinking about you calling them or whatsoever about the next conversation.
Yeah, no.
You just got to make a call and see what happens.
It's totally true. It does apply to real estate, because how many times have we heard from agents that are like, I was a great agent for them. Everything was great. I thought they would use me for all their transactions. They said they would. And then they sold the house that I helped them buy and they didn't even call me. And how many times have we said, well, did you call them? Oh, well, no, but I just thought they would remember that I was the best agent ever. No, they won't remember because they're not thinking about you as much as you think they're thinking about you.
And look, into that, yesterday during my conversation with Josh, you brought that exactly that. He's like, look, I had a leak came through my ass last year. I called them about 16 times. 16 times, they never DND, they never responded. I sent messages, I sent emails. And just yesterday, they called me on Tuesday. They called me about not a real estate question. And sure enough, we started talking, and he's like, oh, by the way, I want to start, you know, I'm getting ready to purchase in the next couple of months. Let's get that going. You know, but like you said, some people don't want to call, or they get rejected one time, and they like, oh, this person said no. They don't answer the phone, and that's a no. If they don't answer, they create all these objections. But the reality is, we got to work on their time, not our time.
No, we really do. I have to run downstairs real quick, Andres, for 2 seconds and open the door. While I'm gone, do you want to kind of wrap things up and tell everybody our plan to take our family time and budget our family time and make sure that we have that and how our schedule is going to look for the next upcoming holidays? And I'll be right back.
Sounds good. And as you guys heard, we'll be shutting down for the week of Thanksgiving, the week after next year. So we will not have the show on November 25th and the 27th for Thanksgiving. And then again, shutting down the week of December 22nd, that includes December 23rd, 25th, and the week of December 29th, with December 30th and January 1st. And we will be back here on January 6th with more great content. And I'll tell you what, we're going to narrow down this intro and outro, and we're going to make this happen, because we're excited for what's ahead in the new coming year. The content that we're going to put together, we want to get some more interviews here. And I want to get some real estate coaches that we can interview in here and get things going, be able to help other agents that are listening to these. And again, if you're in any industry and you want to share your story, because our goal here is to not just talk about real estate, but really share our experience, our journey as an entrepreneur, because your story can impact so many other people. And just like we heard last week with Alexi and her, how she survived cancer just to a natural, no getting any medical treatment whatsoever. It's incredible, you know, and what she put out there and what she's doing for other people in her situation. I'm very grateful we get a chance to speak with her. And we want to hear more. We want to hear more stories. We want to meet more people that can make an impact like this, because it's a long way. Don't realize how small, no matter how small that detail is, your story is, it can make a huge impact in somebody's life.
That's right. You never know what your story could hold for somebody else and how it could shape their life. So if you guys are wanting to be a guest on our show, don't forget to go to our website and apply to be a guest on our show. We'd love to hear your story. Also, don't forget to scan the QR code at the top so you can join our community and then get access to all the freebies and all the goodies we offer to our listeners.
Absolutely. And if you are in real estate or looking to get in the real estate space, go to our website, realtalkha.life. You have access to the CE shop, or go straight to the CE shop, realtalkha.theceshop.com, and take advantage of the savings that you can get there for your real estate license and your continuing education. So take advantage of what's available there. Again, we'd love to have you here as a guest. Let's hear your story. Go to our website, get the application in, and let's hear it.
And I think that's going to be it for us today, guys. Any last minute parting words, Andres?
Man, this year is coming. The end of this year is coming by fast. We started this in July, and we're having so much fun with it. I'm excited for what's ahead. I'm also grateful for the day-to-day operation that goes into this. Grateful to be doing this with you, Heather. Grateful to everyone that's listening and helping us grow each and every day. So very grateful for all of you guys out there.
And we're grateful for you too, Andres, because this wouldn't be here without you. So we want to say thank you to you. And also, don't forget, you guys, come to our website and get our exclusive deal for cloud that we only have for our real estate agents. We have said that backwards, but you know what I mean. www.realtalk.ha. No, realtalkha.live. There we go. I'm totally off of it today. And again, this is live, so all of our mistakes are here, and they're just going to be there, and you just have to bear with us because we are human. But that is it for us today, guys, and we will see you guys on the next one.
Bye.